Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 4:03 in the evening here. Felger Mass broadcasting on 98.5. That's your FM dial in Boston. Simulcast once again across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. The app will give you us 24/7 streaming around the world. The 98.5 The Sports Hub app has all the replays, so if you miss an hour, a segment, a show, just listen that night, the next morning, and you're all set to go. That's how you get us. I promise we'll wrap up these Patriots calls and get to some Celtics and Bruins this hour. But back to you as promised. Eric in Boston has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Eric. What do you got for us on the Pats?
Oh, hey, guys. Wanted to say something about something you said about earlier, Felger. I mean, yesterday, and then I have a question for Jim Murray real quick.
Go.
So, Felger, remember you were saying yesterday about how, like, the quarterbacks, like, the pass sets up the run. The run does not set up the pass.
That's right.
You said.
That's right.
But I was wondering, like, isn't it kind of, couldn't it be both? Because, like, if a glass of water is half full, isn't it also half empty? Or could it be, like, a percentage of both?
I think it's an old-fashioned, antiquated cliche to say that the run sets up the pass. It doesn't work that way anymore. Now, Eric, is it possible that you run the ball a couple times effectively and that sneaks up a safety or a linebacker and then you throw over the guy? Of course. Of course that happens. But you can do a million different things like that. You can run a receiver deep all day, get those guys coming back, and then have them run little button hooks and comebackers, and the deep ball sets up the short ball. The short ball can set up the deep ball. The run can set up the pass. Like, it's, you can, like, that's just basic physics. But I think it's a cliche, though. And it's antiquated to say that in the modern NFL, with these passing rules and the things that they let you do in the passing game, that you're going to line up and run the ball to set up the pass. If you do that, you suck. Sorry, you suck.
Okay. Can I ask Jim Murray my question now?
Yes.
Jim, I was wondering if you wanted to hang out with me sometime. I'd like to introduce you to the GOAT next time I hang out with him.
To the what now?
I'm going to let you go. Yeah. That's grab ass, and we're not grab assing.
Just
today.
Tweet at me.
Yeah, okay, yeah, just tweet him. That do that on your own time online somewhere.
In fact, I think in the modern NFL, I think you can pass without running at all.
Me too. Seriously.
Like, if you have a good enough passing game, you sit back there and throw all day.
Run draws, screens, things of that nature. You want to control clock, you want to control the ball. I mean, how many big games have we seen the Patriots? Brady drops back to pass 55 times. 60. What was it in the Super Bowl last year? I know they lost that game, but they...
I think it was 60 dropbacks.
60 dropbacks. It was the same as the Atlanta game. Do you need a running game? Are you crazy? Murray and the rest of you?
Still helps.
Again, we asked...
Die on that hill.
We asked Bedard earlier, very simply, if you think Sony Michel was a key or was the key to the Patriots' win over the Jets on Sunday, what does that make you?
Stats humper.
It makes you a stats humper. Bob and Marbo. Go ahead, Bob, on the Pats.
Yeah, Maz, I just wanted to talk to you about something about the Patriots. You rated they have a bad rating this year, and I was wondering how you had anticipated their outcome this year after they got the whole team got decimated last year. I mean, you took the whole offense away. You come back this year, you got no defense, the same defensive that let Philadelphia run all over them in the Super Bowl, and you expect them to improve their rating?
Okay, well, you're talking quarterback rating. I mean, what does the defense have to do with Brady's rating? So the defense is the same crappy defense it's always been.
Yeah, the passing game's not as good as it has been. And all I'm telling you, the question was power rankings at quarterback. Okay, so I want to keep this in its proper context. To me, power rankings at quarterback is which guys have played the best this year.
Right, and really...
That's what the question is.
More recently.
Right, and if you do it on a week-to-week basis, it factors in a recency bias. I'm telling you, in the last 6 weeks, call it, I don't think Brady's in the top 10. I don't.
Well, you proved that, but you said you'd rather have right now Baker Mayfield.
Well, and when I say right now, I'm talking
right
like,
now. Yeah, game tonight, game this week, the game the next month. You know, the next month, you'd rather have Baker Mayfield.
No,
than
that's
Brady.
Not the question. The question is the power rankings right now. Who's been a better quarterback to now? And I think Baker Mayfield right now is playing better than Tom Brady. So that's a different question because now you're factoring in experience and everything else.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm just telling you that to me, it's a different question. So I look at it and I think, I don't think Brady's, He's got six touchdown passes in 6 weeks.
Yeah, and Mayfield's been good the last 2 weeks, but before that, in four games before that, he threw seven touchdowns. And he's been just meh.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that overall...
I don't believe this. I refuse to believe that you believe this.
No,
that
I do.
No.
I don't think Brady's had a good year by his standards.
This is Garoppolo bias.
I don't think Brady's had a good year by any standards. He's been okay.
Tom Brady right now in quarterback rating ranks 16th. Last year, I'm just going to go backwards. Last year, he was third. 2016, he was second. Okay? 2015, he was fourth. 2014, and I can only go as fast as my computer. He was fifth. So he's been a top five guy for the last 5 years. Now this year, he's dropped to 16th. 2013, he was out of it. 2013, he was he was 17th in 2013. Okay, well, let me just put this together for you, Maz. I'll help you out. In 2013, he ranked 17th in quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do then that offseason at the draft?
They drafted Garoppolo.
Okay, just so this is the worst statistic season he's had pre-Garoppolo.
Correct.
Since pre-Garoppolo.
Yeah, they feel like bookend seasons to me.
Here's Tim in Grafton. Go ahead, Tim. What do you got for us?
So as far as the why did McDaniels come back? Oh, and by the way, you don't think Danny Etling lit a fire under Tom Brady's ass? So as far as why did Josh McDaniels come back, I like the premise of, like, he was a buffer between he and Bill. And what if, now I know you guys like negativity, but, you know, and I'll find a way to make this negative. Just give me a second. But what if things are good between Chill Bill and Tom now? He let him have his binky, Alex back. Maybe things are better between them than we thought. But that makes them both really egomaniacal, and I just think they kind of both suck to the people that work around them. But that's how I made it negative. Just wanted to throw it out there.
No, Tim, I think it's possible that, and Bedard just talked about it, that they've had a detente, and now there's less of a need for a buffer and less of a need for Kraft to need the fallback guy in case Bill just bolts the hell out of here. So I think that's entirely possible. I'm telling you, whatever it is, I don't know what the answer is, but I feel that Josh's reemergence on the market in terms of head coaching vacancies, is related to something internally here. Just like him jumping off that plane from Indianapolis was related to the internal goings-on here. I think they're both directly cause and effect, whatever they happen to be.
I mean, it's hard to not think that way. Like, to me, they've got to be related. He is going to turn his back on the Colts the way he did for, like, just of a change of heart. Like, there's no way you do that. That's a potential. It's a potential career killer. Potential. Now, look, in that league, as we all know, people will turn around and hire you again. So, but boy, his agent fired him. His agent dropped him.
And he screwed over all those assistants there because they had already taken the gig, and then he was going there, and then he decided, second, he gets cold feet. And I can understand that because of the goofball owner that's there, but it had to be something back here that he was promised. That's why he came back.
So, look, I think that, you know, detente's a good word because that just means that things have settled down.
So I still
it doesn't mean things are gone.
I forgot to ask the big boy. Yeah, he's listening in his car. Greg, you need to ask Bill, do he and Brady meet on Tuesday nights still?
Oh, yeah. Text me the answer, Greg.
Do they still meet one-on-one Tuesday nights, but to go over the game plan like they always have all those years? Or has that thing gone by the wayside? Has that gone the way of off-season conditioning programs like Tom Brady? Has that gone the way of passing camps where Brady is, meh? You realize what's important now and what's not, and what you need to do and what you don't. That's not something I need to do. He now determines that he doesn't need to go to passing camps. And does he also determine now that he doesn't need to meet with the head coach one-on-one on Tuesday nights before they install the game plan? Because Bedard, we'll play the sound in a little bit, he said he's never seen Brady be worse at the decision-making thing than he's been in a long time. And that's not to say that he sucks, but Greg said he used to make the right call all the time. Now it's like 50%, 50, 60% of the time. Is that because there's a little less mental work going in as well?
I don't know, but I doubt it. I don't know.
That's not what he said. We purposely doctored that to make the big boy look bad.
And Greg, if you have not asked Belichick yet whether he still meets with Brady on Tuesday nights.
Would you please?
Yeah. Let us know because we can have Tucker on the call tomorrow to ask Belichick himself.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Tucker.
Can't wait for that. Tim and Quincy. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, gentlemen. I had a question about the Jets game. I want to know what's in place to make sure that these officials aren't on the take.
Oh, God.
And I've been saying this for years, guys. That game was the Patriots were a 9-point favorite. You have all these new states with $1 billion industry on gambling to make sure that these guys are on the up and up. they called a penalty on every possession until the fourth quarter on the Patriots.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you. Tim, Maz, do you think the game was fixed on Sunday?
No, I think the Patriots got most of the penalties they deserved, and even Belichick said that. So I would tell fans to stop crying and acting like a bunch of two-year-olds, because the fact of the matter is that a lot of the penalties they got were well-earned. Well-earned. So stop being such a little baby.
Rolling Stones tickets coming up later on this hour. Coming up next, the Celtics get a win last night in New Orleans. Maybe a little strong to say season-saving kind of win, but along those lines, where they are teetering, man. That team is teetering. And, well, anyway, they pull out a win last night with a different lineup and a couple of guys severely diminished in terms of minutes and role. Is that related? Is the change in the starting lineup a cause and effect? Are guys like Jaylen Brown out or Gordon Hayward diminished? Those two guys, again, non-factors in that game last night, yet they have their best game in a while. Is that related? Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. Is that a cause and effect for why they played so well last night? Or played so much better, I should say. We'll get to the Celtics next. We'll get to the Bruins with slightly frustrating loss last night for me in Toronto. I got some thoughts on that. We'll do that all after these words, so don't go anywhere. And you can call us on these items at 617-779-0985.
Younger Naz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Ow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics will inbound it, appropriately enough, in the hands of Marcus Smart. He got the start tonight. Clock hit triple zeros. The Celtics go 2 out of 3 on the road trip. They find the win, but more importantly tonight, perhaps, they found their mojo. They beat the Pelicans 124-107.
All right, so there's your Celts win. Big one. Again, they're teetering, man. Weird times for that team, so any good one. And anything that prevents them from going under 500 or getting worse, you know, is valuable. So last night was valuable. In New Orleans, your thoughts on the game, Mass?
So they were better. There's no question about it. I mean, they were better on both ends of the floor. I thought their offense was more consistent with what we're used to seeing. I think it started with having a guy near the basket in Horford, and there was a little bit more of an inside out and some, you know, pick and rolls and some passing, and it felt to me like less one-on-one iso ball in the perimeter than it has been. So that's a good start. And on the defensive end, I felt like there was more intensity. It's still not perfect, but they got their hands on a lot of balls last night. A lot. Like deflecting passes, getting steal all over the place. They got their hands on a ton of passes.
All right. Is it a coincidence that Marcus Smart is in the starting lineup last night in place of Jaylen Brown, and they are more aggressive, more defensive-minded, more just aggressive?
No. I mean, that's because he's there. I think it's right to start him right now, and I saw earlier somewhere that they're 4-1 when he plays over 27 minutes. So in terms of aggressiveness and better defensive game, I think it's because you have him playing that many minutes, and he starts last night. But I think too much is being made about, oh, Smart started, and this should be the rotation, this should be the starting five.
It should be.
Well, oh, Mike, they shot close to 50% on three-point shots last night. That's why they won, and there was a million terrible unforced turnovers by the Pelicans. They played as sloppy a game as you can possibly play.
Were they unforced, or did the Celtics set a tone with their defense and their aggressiveness because Marcus Smart was in the starting lineup?
No, I thought they got their hands on a lot of balls and a lot of passing. Now, look, what Murray's saying about the Pelicans is true. They're careless with the ball. They are. But the Celtics were also in spots to get their hands on it. And here's what I like about Smart. He played almost 40 minutes last night. He took 8 shots.
There you go.
Yeah.
8.
Hopefully he's been reprogrammed.
But this is the point, is that you got enough shooters on the floor. When you try to play them all at the same time, you have problems. So take a shooter off, or a guy who wants, you know, a scorer, be it Brown. I'm not talking pure jump shots. I'm talking shots, period. 40 minutes, 8 shots. He took two shots a quarter, which is good. That's what you need. You need somebody on the floor who's going to contribute other things than scoring, which is what Smart's game is. So I look at that and I say, well, there you go. Now you're actually looking at putting a lineup together and pieces together that fit with one another instead of five guys who just want to play on the perimeter and shoot threes. Like, so it was a step in the right direction. I don't know if it'll stay this way or not. I'm not convinced yet.
Smart should be the guy. And I've been saying this for weeks. I'm saying for weeks that Smart should be the guy. This is why you pay him that money, to be an intangible guy or the grit guy or the junkyard dog guy or the defensive guy, to mix up the look at what you have on the floor. Again, too many offensive guys at once. And so he's the reason you pay him, was it $10 million a year?
No, 13.
Oh, you overpaid the guy. No question about it. But that's why you did, for him to be that sort of that intangible piece. So that's the guy. That was always the guy. And I think he should start. I think he should get those minutes. And I felt that for a while. Now, I love how Stevens downplays the starting thing. We have a cut there. We don't have to hear it. But he said at one point last night that the starting lineup isn't set and it never will be. Because he's sick of answering these questions about the starting lineup. And it's like, they change it 5 minutes into the game. So what does it matter what the starting lineup is? And, you know, the more important lineup is who finishes the game, not who starts the game. And you know what? I mean, I get all that. There's a point there. But on the other hand, though, if it really doesn't mean anything, then why don't you start Semi Ojeleye and Wendemaker? Hey, there's obviously...
Wendemaker.
Whatever the dude's name is. Start the...
Wendemaker.
Whatever the dude's name is.
Studebaker.
The French Panda. Start those stiffs. If it means nothing, who's in the starting lineup, then just pick them out of a hat. No. There's obviously a point to a starting lineup. There's something about tone or... this is who we are tonight, or this is where we're going. You know, there's an intangible quality to who you have in the starting lineup. Never mind that the substitution patterns generally work out where
correct.
The starters go out at a certain time, then they come back at a certain time, and so...
It sets the rotations.
Generally speaking, it sets the rotation. So I understand it's more important who finishes than who starts, but just the complete underplaying of the starting lineup is getting a little stupid. There's a point to starting certain guys, and if there was no point, if it really didn't matter who starts, then you would start the Studebaker kid. Okay? What did I call him?
Wendemaker.
Brad Wanamaker.
Do I have to know his name?
You probably shouldn't.
So, fine. Start, you know, so it does matter. So, to me, when you start with Marcus Smart there, you're saying something about who you're going to be that night, and it also sort of sets the rotation. That Rozier comes in, is on the scoring guy in the second, you know, so da-da-da-da-da-da.
He starts the second quarter.
So
right, Rozier starts the second quarter. That's how the rotation works.
So I think Smart should be starting, but more importantly, if you want to play that game, he should be ending the game too.
Well, and last night he did. He played all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter.
It's the Marcus Smart paradox. I've never gotten it. We've talked about it a ton. We talked about it last year. He's on the floor and shooting 17% from the floor or something, and he's a plus 25. Like we've run all these numbers, and they don't add up. How he could play so much and suck so bad offensively, yet when he's on the floor, they're a plus, or their efficiency ratings are better, or blah blah blah, and it makes no sense. He could have a horrible shooting night with a ton of turnovers, but he's on the floor and they're a plus. And I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I just know that that's the case.
Because he's willing to do the things that no one else wants to do. And when I say that,
it's not even, but it's like the worse he shoots, the better his efficiency ratings are.
Well, so there's that element to it that I can't explain.
That's the Marcus Smart paradox.
But he gives you stuff that other players don't. And at the same time, doesn't want the things that other players do. Now, he still shoots too much. But again, he played 40 minutes last night. He took 8 shots.
Great.
Terry Rozier played, I think it was 18 minutes and took 12 shots.
Played 19 minutes, 12 shots.
So, but you know what? I'm okay with that with Rozier as a bench guy. His job is to come in with the second unit late in the first quarter, beginning of the second, match up against the other team's bench and score. That's his job. Just like it's usually Marcus Morris's job.
So, even when all these guys are healthy, keep Smart there. Keep him there. He balances you out. That's the right call.
I'll tell you, the other thing is don't underestimate offensively on the other end, on the offensive end of the floor, Horford being a little closer to the basket instead of out on the perimeter just launching threes. It forces the defense to have someone there. It forces you to have someone there, and it's typically a big guy. And if they're not going to guard him with a big guy, then feed him all day long and let him score in the paint.
Okay, it's the best they've played in a while, and Jaylen Brown didn't even play. And Gordon Hayward? Oh, complete zero.
I thought he sucked in that game last night.
Non-factor. 23 minutes. That's below his season average. 5 shot attempts. 5 points. Complete non-factor. So is it a coincidence that they looked better with Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, for lack of a better term, out of the way?
No. Because
it's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. And look, I still think these guys can help them. But you know what it did last night? It simplified the whole picture.
It unclutters everything.
I was just going to say, get rid of the clutter.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They got rid of the clutter.
And that was one of their better wins of the year. And the other one that immediately comes to mind was the one against Milwaukee at home about a month ago. And who was out that night? There was no Hayward. So, you know, Brown ended up having a good night. It's just, there's a redundancy there at the wing.
Hayward's not getting better.
He's not. In fact, last night I thought he got worse. Oh, my God. I thought he sucked in that game. All the way around, defensively, offensively, he still looks really, really slow.
He hit one big three late when there was the Pelicans were trying him out to come back. But that was it. That's
I'll tell you. But watch him move defensively.
Oh, no. It's like he's in molasses.
Oh, man, is he slow. It's painful. And sometimes he looks like he's running around in circles. And I don't know if it's because they're trying to put him on the weakest offensive player and then get him to cheat and help because they know he's not a great one-on-one defender. And so they're trying to hide him a little bit, but there were times he's running around out there. He's lost.
Okay, here's your Bruins minute.
And when I say lost, I don't mean lost like he doesn't know where to go. I mean overmatched. That's a better way to put it.
On the Boston Bruins, they lose last night in Toronto. I thought they played well given their injuries and given their lineup right now. I think they played well. It's up and down the ice. I thought they controlled large portions of the game. I think they outshot him by a pretty good margin, 30-something to 20-something. And they hit a bunch of posts. They were right there. It's a 3-2 game with an empty net. And that game really could have gone either way. And I thought they played well. But no moral victories. And so, you know, it's too bad. They really could have made a statement with that win last night. They didn't get it. But I don't want to blame them because I don't think they deserve it. I think they played hard and they played well. And they were toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the league with a severely diminished lineup. That's just a fact. They went toe-to-toe with that Toronto team last night. However, I do have a couple frustrations. One is, you look at the score sheet. They scored 2 goals. Both were Pastrnak. So I think we've seen here in the last week, when they get just a little contribution from someone else, whether it's DeBrusk or some Backus or someone else gives them something, they tend to win. When it's just Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, like, that doesn't show me anything. That doesn't do them any good because I know those guys are going to be there. So it's frustrating that it was just Pastrnak with 2 goals and that was it. No one else could put it in the ocean. So I don't like seeing that. Brad Marchand, I think, is 7 games now without a goal. I think he's 0-3-3 in his last 7 games. He had 2 assists last night, and one of them was a beauty.
The first one was a thing of beauty.
Great pass to Pastrnak across the crease. Deserves full credit. The second one had to have been a secondary assist because Krug set up Pastrnak with that great, you know, feed down low. But either way, so he got on the score sheet kind of, but he still hasn't scored. He hit the post once. But that was like 7 games without a goal. He's been without Bergeron now for the last whatever it is, 5. And I feel like I don't notice him as much. So, well, Marchmont, it's not just, you know, you got to now lead the team beyond just you being there with your buddy Bergeron. And I don't know if he's done that. So that's a small frustration. There's only one play that bothered me last night, and that was the game-winning goal by Toronto, their 3rd goal on the power play. Is it Tim Wagner? Who's the Wagner guy?
Chris, maybe?
Chris Wagner, whatever. Again,
I think it's
like,
Chris.
I feel like I shouldn't be responsible for knowing your name. He's a 4th liner. But the Wagner guy. You've got Mitch Marner, who fly. I think it's Tim.
Chris.
No? Chris?
I think it's Chris.
Look it up. Look it up, Murray. So you've got this Mitch Marner flying down the ice on the power play, and you're 2-2. You've come back to tie the game twice, right? And so what?
It's Chris.
Chris Wagner. So you've got this Mitch Marner flying down the ice on the power play, and Wagner tries to make this play in the neutral zone where he comes out to, like, challenge him. And gets caught up ice, and Marner just totally blows by him, just dusts him. And now Wagner's behind the play, and then it's a pass to the other guy. I can't remember who it was. He dusts Achari, and the next thing you know, Toronto's in on Halak, and they score off a rebound with Wagner trailing the play. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Get your ass back. I'm getting Claude back here to tell him, just get back. What are you doing? You're not going to catch Marner. You're not going to make a play on him and neutralize. You're hanging on for dear life against a really good offensive team, a really fast team, one of the fastest players on the ice in the league, just blowing down the ice.
I love that guy. He's good.
Marner? So it's like, dude, would you get your ass back and just keep the thing in front of you? What are you doing? And I think the Bruins have done such a good job. They've been so disciplined and defensive-minded and just disciplined with this stuff that, no, wrong time for that. Bad play. You know, you should be on the ninth floor, right? So you are not the one to be out there taking a chance like that, trying to make some poke check at mid-ice against Marner with a full head of steam when you're killing a penalty with a 2-2 nip-and-tuck game late in the second period. Get your ass back. That play frustrated me on the Bruins. All right, so there's your Celtics and Bruins minutes. Your thoughts on both? I promise after Murray's update, Stone's tickets coming up as well.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones as promised. Celtics, Bruins, all of our Patriots stuff. Mark and Acton on the seas. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Just a thought on the Celtics. I just think they have an inability to get to the basket in the half court, with the exception of Kyrie. I think Rozier, you know, in the half court when it slows down, really isn't capable of breaking down the defense and finishing in the paint. And then Jaylen Brown, it feels like every time he gets ahead of steam and he's trying to dribble by a guy, he ends up backing the guy down and then doing this, you know, awful, uncoordinated, you know, act. And usually, like, loses the ball or something horrible happens. And it's just really frustrating to watch, because I think in the playoffs, they're going to need to, you know, they're going to score.
Well, let me just stop you. Mass, do they not go to the basket enough?
I would say generally that is correct. Yep, Kyrie obviously gets here. I think he's wrong that it's just him, though. Tatum can get to the basket, too. He's another one. Rozier needs space to do it. A lot of guys can't do it in the half court. I mean, it's hard. You get 10 bodies down there. It's like the red zone, for crying out loud, in football. There's just no space, so most people can't get to the basket. You either got to post someone up and have strength and be able to fight through it, or you got to be able to shoot jump shots. It's like it's one or the other, so... But, you know, Brown should be able to do it better than he does, but he doesn't handle the ball well enough. But when he is handling the ball right, he can get there too. They're balanced enough in terms of the skill, right? It's not like you say, well, they have nobody who can get to the basket. Not true. They have two or three guys. What they lack, if you ask me, more than anything, is someone that can score, in the post, like with regularity. They don't have your true post player, and I'm not saying that, you know, I want Kareem there.
But I know on the counter is who's Golden State's post player.
Okay, but they all have, like, you know, the greatest jump shooting team of all time. So, but, and I would tell you that...
The Celtics just think they're the greatest jump shooting team of all time.
Correct. So, like, I just think that there are occasions where, for spacing purposes, it just helps to have someone down there. I thought they did it more with Horford last night. Horford's not a great post player, but he can do it enough to help you.
Meanwhile, Terry Rozier, a little bit of a problem. He did a podcast this week with Rick Pitino, Jim Murray tells me. What did he say on this podcast?
Yeah, it was actually posted today. Rick Pitino's podcast, The Pitino Press. Well, that sounds riveting. But he was talking about his future, potentially, with the Celtics going forward. He said, I'm going into my fifth year after this, so I would love to start, Rozier tells Pitino.
I'd love to start. So he's chirping about starting again.
Yep.
Yeah, he goes on to say, nothing wrong with being the sixth man coming off the bench, but I don't really look at myself as that. That's not my main focus. Of course I want to win. I've been a winner all my life, coming through your program and then being with the Boston Celtics. But, nothing wrong with being the sixth man coming off the bench, but I don't really look at myself as that. That's not my main focus. Where have I heard words like that before from a player like this? Where would that be? Anyway, he goes on to say, I like winning. I don't know how I can adjust if I try taking a starting job somewhere, but I'm playing for an awful team and we're not winning no more. It's just something that I don't think that I can adjust to, being around people that's okay with just losing. These comments would obviously suggest Rozier wants to stay with the Celtics long term. However, he goes on to say, quote, at the same time, it's like, I still want to keep my options open. I feel like I've seen a lot in these 4 years and how much a business this is. I think I should get everything I deserve, end quote.
Oh, this is the mouthy little peanut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas. Yes, that's where I've heard talk like this before from a player that was wildly overrated by a certain group of people. Who is that? Oh, that's right.
You.
You. You did this. I said it like last week. I'll say it again. The reason for Terry Rozier's attitude, inflated ego, if you will, you did this. With your stupid nicknames, your stupid T-shirts, and all that nonsense. Oh, scary Terry. Yeah. Oh, you know, we don't even forget, too. After that postseason last year, you know, we should move on from Kyrie because Terry Rozier is the better point guard. You did this. This is why he carries on like this. You overrated the player, the stupid nickname, and the shoes, and the mask, and the scary Terry nonsense.
Well, he is still at it, though. He is still
ship
at
him
it.
Out.
I'll tell you what, if I'm a Celtic, if I'm Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, here's what I would say to these guys. Stop doing podcasts with your old coaches. Okay? You, Kyrie, you, Terry Rozier, stop doing podcasts with your old coaches, and that includes you, Gordon.
That was a really good game last night. They're up and down the ice.
Yeah, I was bouncing all over the place, but every time I watched the Bruins, I thought, boy, they look pretty good. I was impressed in the early part of the game. I thought the Bruins had life in them right out of the gate. They played hard last night. How many posts did they hit?
Three. And I think overall, like, the product's been pretty good the last week or so. Like, they've been some hard-edged, up-and-down hockey games.
I told you, they're an easy team to like right now because they're really banged up and playing their asses off. If you could take their heart and their balls and put them in the Celtics would be better than 11-10.
Scott, you take the Bruins' thought. Go ahead.
What's up? Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple thoughts on last night's game. There is something. The Bruins did look good, Maz. You're absolutely right. And they lost, and that happens. There is something called puck luck. It's a real thing. It's in the poker world, they call it variance. They just as easily could have won that game last night, 4-2. Hence why you'll see 8 seeds win the Stanley Cup, where you'll never see an 8 seed win the NBA championship. That's that. Toronto's the better team, but puck luck was on Toronto's side. One more comment, Felger. This kid, please correct me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, Danton Heinen?
Yes.
This kid, I'm telling you, hockey's the only sport I love, just like you. This kid is good.
He is?
You're going to see him come into his own, much like Pasternak did. How old is he? What do you know about Danton Heinen?
Heinen went to college. He went to Denver University, so he's older than Pasternak. Pasternak came into the league at 18. And so Pasternak's apprentice was at the NHL level, and for the first couple of years, Pasternak looked like it. For years, I think. Not even two. It looked like he was a kid. Heinen came in at an older age. He's an older player. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, he's 23.
Ken, how old is Pasternak? 22?
I'll check that. I don't know.
And Heinen might be older than Pasternak, for all I know. And Pasternak's been here quite a while. Heinen, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it with the guy.
Yeah, Pasternak's 22.
Yeah, he's older than Pasternak.
So this guy, Heinen's older than Pasternak. He should be ahead of him, more developed. I feel like Claude would love him.
Two-way player, right?
Because I don't notice him. What does he do? I don't really know what he does. Like Chris Kelly, I don't really see what Heinen does. Does he get back and I just don't pay attention to it? Does he just make solid, simple defensive plays and so, just a casual viewer like me is not going to notice that? And he's that kind of special player. That's the only thing I would say, because I'm not noticing him back checking every time. Because offensively, what does he have? One goal this year?
He's got two.
I don't get Danton Heinen. I don't.
So to me, he just feels like your kind of standard third line player
guy.
Like, I don't get it either. Last year, he surprised me because he had a pretty good year. It was 16 goals, 47 points. But this year, I think he's been invisible.
Invisible to me. Invisible. I'm with you. All right, so we've got the Bruins and the Celtics on the board. We'll recycle some of our Patriots stuff as well, get to some of Greg Bedard's comments from earlier in his stint. Maz also is trying to take an AFC team seriously. Seriously, like you don't want to face this team. Who is Maz talking about? He started to talk himself into a certain AFC opponent. He'll tell you who that is and why next. Also, we can give you Stones tickets.
Oh,
yeah.
Win them before you can buy them.
So if you're calling now, you're going to lose because you're cheating, and we don't like cheating here in New England. You should know that by now.
Stones tickets on a Tuesday. Don't you hang up on me, Felger, you're a toll. I need those tickets from the Sports Hub giveaway. I win them, then I'll kiss you. Hook me up, Felger.
Yeah, Felga, I want the tickets. I'm not going to wait till Friday, but so far I can't get no satisfaction.
So your chance to win Stones tickets are just minutes away, so do not leave your radio, seriously.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Deshaun gets the snap. Deshaun looking, firing right side of the end zone, and caught for a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas with the reception. Welcome to Houston, DT.
Excellent throw, and you don't have a lot of room, so the ball's got to go up quickly. It did on a corner route, and I'm telling you, that one's absolutely in the right spot over the outstretched hands of Adoree Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Where are they? Where are those tickets? Hold on, I'm on the line here.
Who am I talking to? Billy Lanny? Please allow me to introduce myself. Yeah. I'm a man of wealth and taste. My name's Tim, and I love Bud Light beers. If I don't win those tickets, it's a waste. Hey, Billy. Pleased to meet you. Now select my name. I want those Stones tickets again.
Rolling Stones tickets coming up this segment, any second now. So don't call yet. Don't call until I give you the cue to call. And then you'll have a chance to win Stones tickets to their concert next summer at Gillette Stadium. What you heard there was Deshaun Watson to Demaryius Thomas. One measly touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson to one of the biggest dogs in the league. I am sorry.
Agreed.
And guess who is now buying in on the Houston Texans? Maz.
I'm coming around on the Texans, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And I was just trying to refine this with Murray during the break because the same issues with the Texans, or at least the biggest ones, still exist. And that is, can Bill O'Brien come into Foxborough and beat Bill Belichick? And my guess is probably not. Okay? Like, O'Brien, I've loved O'Brien since he was here. But after this last game when they came in, I mean, it's a joke. He doesn't match up, and unless he changes, he's not going to beat Belichick. But I'll tell you what I do believe in with the Texans, and what's different with the Texans that has been different in years past. Their talent. And it struck me last night. I'm no Demaryius Thomas fan, but as a second receiver behind DeAndre Hopkins, no problem.
He's a better option than that Will Fuller, who's out with an injury for the year.
So they have a running back who can catch the ball, and Lamar Miller. Most importantly, I'm leaving out the lead. Deshaun Watson's playing his ass off now. Completely different guy than what he was early in the year. He sucked in the game at Foxborough. He was awful. Now he's playing well. I just said this to Murray. Last 6 weeks in the NFL, where do you think he ranks in quarterback rating?
Oh, you're going to tell me.
Fourth. And the three guys he's behind are the three guys you would guess. Luck, Breeze, Mahomes. That's it. So Watson's playing great. They have lots of weapons on offense, and this is typically the type of team that gives the Patriots problems, is they got a bunch of different places they can go with the ball. I think the tight ends even have decent.
Oh, and a mobile quarterback, too.
All of it. I just think it's a bad matchup. Like, I look at it now and say, okay.
How many times are you going to take the cheese on the Houston Texans?
So this is, listen, I told you, I don't have an answer for you on O'Brien. I don't.
So he's, to me, the weak link there. I think he's such a conservative boob when it comes to the offensive play calling. And you even saw some of it last night, too. And I think it was the Titans were within 10. It was either the third or fourth quarter. It was like third and two, and then they set up this play. You automatically know, oh, you're going to run the ball on third and two. And it was, I think, Alfred Blue got blown up in the backfield. Like, I don't know. There's no creativity there. He does the same thing time and again. He gets tight. Like, I think the reason I can't take them seriously is because of Bill O'Brien.
So, again, I don't have an answer on that one. O'Brien's a concern. He is. But at the same time, I look at it. They're 8-3 now. They were 0-3. They've won 8 in a row. Have you looked at their schedule down the stretch?
Oh, it's easy.
Easy schedule. Yep.
It is absolute dog food.
I think they have won their last game of the year is challenging.
They play the Jags at home.
Oh, never mind then.
So their next five are Cleveland at home, Indy at home, at the Jets, at Philly. I'll give you that one.
Maybe the Philly game was
Yep, that could be a problem. And then home against Jacksonville, who's mailed it in. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Houston could run the table. If the Patriots slip up, Houston could be the number two seed. Like, I just don't think it's that far-fetched. So let me ask you the question. If the game's down there instead of up here.
Patriots.
Oh, no, I disagree.
Patriots.
Oh, I disagree with
Patriots.
You. With the way they've played on the road this year, you think they were candidates to beat anybody on the road in the playoffs?
The Texans.
Nope.
The Texans?
Nope.
Not worried.
I'll tell you what, the other thing that's an issue with Houston, and it struck me last night, when Tennessee wanted to bring pressure, Houston couldn't pick it up. They had trouble.
Oh, their offensive line's bad.
So I just don't know if the Patriots are capable of exploiting it or want to. But I'm telling you, there's more. And their defensive front seven is healthy, which they haven't had in recent years either. I respect their talent. It struck me last night, there's a lot more talent there. They could give the Patriots trouble.
Yeah, if you had to go there, I would still pick the Patriots. If they have to come here, please. I still, again, I can't take that.
The game's in Houston. The Patriots are in trouble.
Oh, boy.
guys overrate the Patriots this year. They're not that good.
I know that. But they're still better than the Houston Texans.
They're still better than the Houston Texans.
Okay.
They're still better than the Houston Texans.
You guys exactly say right. So.
The Texans have no idea how to beat you. They don't know how to beat you. I'll take a lesser team that has a clue. The Houston Texans are not it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.